This episode of the Antlers and Hicks podcast is brought to you by Bloodline Custom Calls. I've been a fan of Bloodline Custom Calls for several years now. I've gotten in touch and gotten a good friendship with Jason Cooper and the boys over at Bloodline, and they make some of the best turkey calls I've heard. They also have some outstanding merchandise, so go check them out. BloodlineCustomCalls.com, Facebook, and Instagram. Check out Bloodline Custom Calls. I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed. I want to tell you guys about my Wise Eye trail camera experience, and let me tell you, it's impressive. I've kind of been leery of the cell camera stuff because I live in an area where the cell phone service just really is sketchy. So I get this camera, and while I'm at work, right before I leave for the day, I start activating the camera, getting everything ready. Now, where I work is Huttig, Arkansas. If you know anything about Huttig, Arkansas, you know there's more cell phone service on Mars than there is in Huttig, Arkansas. And as I'm setting up the camera, I have a user error. Operator error, I guess you could say. And I actually had to call WiseEye. I called a Louisiana number. That's a plus. Heather answered the phone, walked me through the problem. And as I'm on the phone with her, she says, oh, it just sent two pictures. Now, keep in mind, there is no cell phone service where I'm at. And it still sent two pictures. This thing is impressive. Hey, right off the bat, I'm impressed. I get home, I set the camera up, and I walk in front of it, and I get a detection on my watch that said, people detected. This thing figured out that I was a people. It's impressive. It's just the word for this camera. So go out, get you a WiseEye, check it out. If you want to look at them in person, you can get them at K&M Coffee, Corks, and Camo in Farmerville. Or if you want to buy it on the internet, Amazon's got them, man. Just go to Amazon, type in WiseEye Trail Camera, they'll pull it right up. I'm telling you, you will be impressed. They are very, very good. There are podcasts that I've recorded, and then there's a podcast like this. This podcast that you guys are about to listen to with Trey and Tucker Underwood is like something that every parent should hear. Tucker is a young man in the fourth grade that is getting to fish some of the coolest crappie tournaments, national tournaments, in the country. And his dad, Trey, is out there coaching him. The young man can do it and do it well. Trey and Tucker really did well at the Crappie Masters. They won their division in Crappie Masters a couple weeks ago in Grenada Lake. They're going to be fishing in the ACT tournament, the American Crappie Trail, on the Washita River this weekend, October. Well, whatever's coming up, I can't remember. But anyway, hey, I'm going to tell you, man, if you're a dad, if you're a mom, if you want to hear some good stuff, if you're a fisherman, this is the podcast you want to listen to. I promise you, it's good. So hang in there. Let's listen to Trey and Tucker Underwood from Ruston, Louisiana. So tonight I got a good, fun podcast. I want to start doing a little bit more fishing stuff. And I thought there was no better way to do it than get Trey and Tucker Underwood from Ruston, Louisiana on here. Trey and Tucker, how you guys doing?
Good.
Great.
Now, I wanted to bring these guys on for two reasons. Number one, they had some good success out at the Crappie Masters Tournament in Grenada Lake a couple weeks ago. And two, Trey is going to be fishing in the ACT competition or tournament this weekend on the Washita River. Which is, you know, it's a big deal for our area. You know, you got a lot of boats coming in, you got a lot of people coming in, and anytime you get a big tournament like that, Trey, that's a big deal for an area, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's pretty amazing. I mean, there's a lot of money spent. I'm essentially local, but so I'm having to get a hotel room for this one, but you know, I'm traveling, you know, a good 45-60 miles. I fished all the way north today on the river. And so pretty much, you know, filling up the boat, you know, burning $50 of gas minimum every day. Come tournament day, you know, it'll be a full tank, you know, driving, you know, stopping at the stores. Of course, K&M, you know, stop there every morning and get breakfast and you know, some shiners and, you know, usually pick up some ice, things like that. So a lot of money spent at these tournaments. So. You know, it definitely benefits the communities.
So, Trey, give me some of your background. How long have you been tournament fishing?
Ooh, so tournament fishing, I guess I started four years ago. I was fishing with I had a partner, and we, you know, pretty successful, you know, out the get go, and you know, had fun, but fun is with your, you know, with your son. So I guess 4 years ago I started, and I had no clue, and you know, grew up fishing. You know, my dad always took me fishing, and you know, I've been fishing since I was four, and then got into crappie fishing. You know, just recreationally, probably around, I don't know, 13 or so. And then just got, you know, got really hooked on it, you know, just the art of it. You know, I'll fish for anything, and Tucker the same. I mean, we'll catch a catfish and we'll bass fish at times, but you know, the crappie tournaments really has changed, you know, things for us. And then Tucker the same way, you know, he's been fishing, you know, his whole life, you know, whether off the bank, a pier, or in the boat with me, all three of my kids, you know, I had them in the boat early, and Tucker just, you know, he caught on. He's got the sickness / patience that I did, and, you know, it's just never a burden, you know, it's having them in the boat has been really a key to our success. So
I like that. I like that you said that. Right there, key to your success, having him there. I'm sure that over time, you guys fishing together, you have developed some confidence in his abilities to kind of put some fish in the box, right?
Well, Tucker, do you put some fish in the box?
Yes.
Now tell us, Tucker. It was 2 weeks ago. You caught a really big fish, didn't you?
The national championship, he didn't catch his biggest fish.
Okay,
so
I thought it was a national championship. Okay, I'm sorry.
The green, and so Tucker and I traveled a lot this year. So Tucker got to go fish Grenada in the spring. So that was March. And he caught we'll talk about that day. That was a pretty special day. So I got over there on a Wednesday, pre-fished Wednesday afternoon. And then was able to get on the water that Thursday morning pre-fishing for about 2-3 hours. And then I had to load up and come pick Tucker up, you know, because he's in school. And so I met my wife in Vicksburg. And so we got out on day one. And Tucker and I had decided if we knew it was going to take a big weight. And so I was helping coach high school softball. And we had already signed up for the tournament, and the head coach knew that I was not going to miss this tournament with Tucker, because last year he caught a 362.
Wow.
By himself. You know, I fished that fish for probably how long, Tucker? So I'm not lying.
20, 30 minutes.
Okay. So maybe he stretched a little bit. it was definitely 10 to 15. And then, so this was last year. So Tucker was 9. And Tucker said, "Daddy, I'm going to grab that hair jig." And we had thrown everything we had at him. And Tucker picked up the rod and had that hair jig. And the fish was, you know, down, coming off the bottom, probably 20 feet of water. And he pitched out on that fish and, I mean, put it right on him. And he tried to boat flip it. And luckily I had the net there, but he caught a 362. That was last year. So this year, we go back, and we knew weights were going to be high, and I had a game on Saturday, and so I told Tucker, I said, "Buddy, if we don't have 18 pounds, then we're gonna head home," because we knew it was going to take at least, you know, at least 20 to make, you know, some presence on day one. And so we're kind of going slow. We had a few fish, and Tucker caught one, boat flipped it. And I honestly never got a chance to even pick up the scale. He took it off the hook and threw it back in. It was probably a two pounder to 225. And I was like, "Buddy, we probably needed that one." And he said, "Daddy," he said, "you said we needed 18 pounds." So I was like, "All right, we're in it."
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. And so we were fishing pretty hard, and it was getting late in the afternoon. You fish till 3. And Tucker got on a fish. I think it was a 290 something on my scale, so well over 3 pounds. He caught that one. I come behind him. I catch my personal best at 375. And at that point, we knew that we had exceeded that 18 pounds. And so I'm in the back of the boat, and we had a couple boats around us. I wasn't real familiar with the group that was next to us. But I'm in the back of the boat getting the cold fish, getting all our stuff lined up, and we're sitting pretty. We really needed to cold probably two fish. And so Tucker's on the troll motor, and he's all by himself. We're fishing timber, you know, submerged stumps, and I keep my troll motor on high because we roll pretty fast until we find what we want to see. And so I'm in the back of the boat, and Tucker's hitting that troll motor, and I kind of got onto him, honestly, and I said, "Tucker, slow down, you know, you're gonna break the troll motor." And so I'm still throwing fish out and checking our weight. And it's probably 3 minutes later, and he hits it again. And I said, "Tucker, slow down." And so I stepped off the back deck, come up on the top deck. And right when I stepped up, he said, "Daddy, I'm on a big one." And I looked over his shoulder, and it wasn't 2 seconds after it was probably a 325, 340, all by himself, running the troll motor. He'd been fishing the fish for, I'm guessing, you know, 3 to 5 minutes. I had no idea because I was, you know, focused on what we had done in the past. And so he caught that one. And then it wasn't 4 minutes later, he stuck another one over 3 pounds. So he caught three fish over 3 pounds by himself. And the group next to us, it was pretty funny because we heard them, you know, they probably used a few swear words and probably didn't know we could. And so they kind of made the comment, you know, "Are you seeing this? You know, how old is that kid? We can't catch a fish." So it made my day, and Tucker was pretty happy about it. So a lot of memories at Grenada, Mississippi. And then, of course, we just got back from the national championship and, you know, got some similar stories there also.
Yeah. So to paint the picture to people who may not understand, what Tucker was doing was he was reading the screen, the sonar screen on the front of the boat while Trey was in the back. Now, the sonar screen to even adults can almost be like reading Greek. I mean, you really have to spend some time on the sonar to really understand what it's saying. And Tucker not only was able to understand what he was looking at, but you run the trolling motor and get on the fish and actually catch the fish. Is that right, Trey?
That's correct.
That is impressive because, let me tell you something, Tucker. I have looked at some of the sonar. I'm very, very, very novice at the sonar and the crappie fishing game that you guys, to the level that you guys are at. And like I say, it just looks like kind of some blobs until people kind of point out what you're looking at. So hats off to you, young man, for understanding what you were looking at and what it took to get on that fish. That's impressive. So now, Tucker, tell everybody where you go to school.
I go to school at Cedar Creek.
Okay, and what grade are you in?
Fourth.
Okay, you want to say who your teacher is?
Miss Eccles, Miss Ruffleth, and Hill.
Okay. You like your teachers? They're pretty nice people.
Yeah, they're pretty nice.
Okay, well, that's good. Look, now I'm gonna be honest with you. My family's loaded up with teachers, and they're nice until you don't do what you're supposed to do. So make sure you do what you're supposed to do, because nothing gets worse than a riled up teacher. I can tell you that for sure. So they're pretty cool with you going on these fishing trips, right?
Yeah. Okay. One of them really likes when I go on a fishing trip. She likes when I hang out with my dad and spend time with my family.
That's awesome. See, that's what it's really all about. And Trey, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I'm a dad. I got two daughters. They're teenagers now, and the time that you invest with them at that young age is vital, brother. I'm telling you, it is. Trust me, because when it's, you know, unfortunately, it's just how nature works. You know, the kids kind of do their own thing, but you know, that time that you're putting in with him and letting him do what you just, the story you just described, where he's manning the boat, where he's in control, that's skills, that's life skills that young man will never, ever forget. So good job, brother. I'm telling you, that's awesome.
Yeah, I wish my girls, I got two girls. I got a sophomore and, I'm sorry, a junior and an eighth grader.
Oh, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're probably listening like, "Hey, brother, you ain't even got close yet."
It's different for sure, but you know, we stay busy. They're all athletes, and we stay on the road, and so this has been a lot of fun. It's something different. You know, I played sports, you know, and big part of my life, and even through college, and you know, sports have, you know, changed a lot, And so, you know, this fishing deal has been really good for Tucker, I think. Just, you know, kind of goes against the typical, you know, travel baseball. And, of course, he's playing football and basketball. And so I think it's been a real good thing, you know, just, you know, fishing, having a good time, but also the competition. You know, he's literally sat in that boat, you know, through all conditions. You know, like Grenada this year, it was – how much ice do we have in our boat, buddy?
At least an inch.
Yeah, inch. It was 2 inches of ice, and I think it was 27 degrees. We had 25-mile-an-hour winds. And then the tournament before that, it was darb on and pouring down rain. So it really takes a lot of patience. And, of course, you know, not long ago, we're sitting out there in 100-degree weather. So I think there's a lot to be learned, you know, as far as competition and sports. And it's a sport. So I think it's been a real good thing for him, and I enjoy doing it with him. So
okay, now look, I'm gonna ask both of you the same question. Now, Tucker, this is what I'm gonna ask, and I'm gonna go with you second because I want you to think about what I'm gonna ask you. Okay, Tucker, what I want you to think about is some things that you have learned and that you would tell, like there's another young person that's just starting out tournament fishing with their dad, some tips you would tell them about, you know, how to be in the boat. Okay, I want you to think about that, and I'm gonna ask you, Trey. You know, you got a dad that's out there. He's got a young kid, boy or girl, that's interested in doing what you and Tucker are doing. I mean, what are some tips that you can give them for, you know, if they decide to go on the tournament route that you guys are on? What are some tips you got?
All right, it's a real easy answer. Listen to them. So. Kids are, you know, I think as an adult, sometimes we overthink things. We get in the way of our own self. You know, kids, they think a little simpler. They're not as bothered as we are as adults. And so Tucker has numerous times made decisions for us. Daddy, we need to move. No, they're still here. We need to do this. And I think some people have actually seen it. You know, I think people just assume that, you know, Tucker's 8, 9, now 10 fishing, that I'm out there doing it all. And I can honestly say the success in most tournaments has come down to being a kid. And so as an adult, be a kid. Listen to your kid. And I truly believe it has been the key to our success is his mentality is, hey, it's okay. I mean, you miss a fish, a big fish rolls on top of the water. I mean, it's like the end of the world for me. Not Tucker. He's like, Daddy, it's all right. There's more. So listen to the kid, and I think you'll be more successful. I think people should probably fish more with kids or women. So, you know, the wives, the male-female teams, adult youth teams, I think they really can put in, I think it's an advantage. And there's challenges to it, right? I mean, you got to go, I don't get to pre-fish as much. Tucker's piggy bank's a little smaller.
Yeah.
So, you know, huge expense. It's a huge investment. You know, I think I've spent $15,000 over the last 12 months tournament fishing. It's worth every penny. But the easy answer to that question is fishing with a kid, listen to them, and you will be more successful. No doubt.
I like that, man. That's, and again, we overthink things, you know, and a kid's going to keep it simpler. Kid looks at the bigger picture where we're just looking, we get a little tunnel vision at times. So I like that advice, brother. I really do. All right, Tucker, it's your turn. What would you tell a young person that's going to get into tournament fishing with their dad? What would you say to him about some tips?
Like what he said, but it's the exact opposite. Listen to the parents and follow their rules. And like.
That's a good answer.
That's a real good answer, brother. I mean, it's, you know, and what I'm hearing from you two is basically mutual respect. You know, respect each other, you know, understand each other. And, oh, man, I'm telling you, this is, that is really, really cool stuff. So, Tucker, if what's your favorite kind of jig to fish with?
Palmer's Custom Baits and Meyer Jigs.
Listen to you. He's already got the sponsorships out there, Trey.
Yeah, I'll mention. So I wouldn't say so much a sponsor. They've become really good friends of ours. They won the national championship last year. And I do want to give them a shout out. So TJ and Alex Palmer, so they were adult team up to here. But Alex Palmer actually started making some jigs. They're plastics. I guess probably 3 or 4 years ago, and I met them on the tournament trail because they were adult youth, and we were out to always get them, which they were very hard to beat. I mean, you know, Alex is, of course, the son. I think Alex is 17 now, but it's a great bait. So it's pretty unbelievable how they pour it, and they've had opportunities to branch out, had people offer to pour their own baits, and I've kind of talked to them about business-wise, like, man, you may not consider it, but they will not do it just because they know that it'll be cheapened, so to say, softer plastics. I've even had plastic companies say, well, we don't want ours to last as long as theirs. And those companies are making more money, right? I mean, you can buy them anywhere. But Palmer Custom Baits that Tucker mentioned, hands down, there's a lot of good products out there, a lot of custom poured plastics. I would say if you're going to buy a plastic, you know, try to find a quality product. You can pick them up and fill them and tell if it's going to work. And then Tucker's hair jigs that he ties. I guess I'm talking too much, but Bayou Bob kind of got him inspired. Bayou Bob was tying hair jigs for us. I met him actually on the bayou fishing one day, and he handed me some jigs, but Primo product, and Tucker said, well, I can do that. And so he started tying jigs this year, and it's absolutely unbelievable. The quality that he's already tying, once again, YouTube and everything else, but the kids just, they catch on to things a little quicker, than I think we do. So we do use all the plastics. That's the only plastic I have in my boat is Palmer Baits. And then Tucker started tying his hair jigs, but I do have to give props to Bayou Bob for helping. And there's a lot of good products out there. But I think locally, most of the guys listen locally. I would definitely reach out to Bayou Bob. And Bayou Bob's pouring plastics too, and he's got a good product. So,
Tucker, I got to be honest with you. The more I learn about you, you are a very well-rounded young person. You're out here, you're playing football, you're playing all the sports, you're catching fish, you're running a boat, you're tying jigs. Trey, do you let him drive the truck? I mean, it's good lands.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, let's transition real quick to this weekend's tournament with the ACT. Tell me something as a novice. You know, again, man, this is me. I don't know much about stuff. How does the ACT differ from other big tournaments?
Ooh, so I'm going to have to be careful. So ACT, okay. Yeah, well, so American Crappie Trail, the crappie tournament has transformed over the last, I would say, 3 to 4 years. And I think we need to give props to all the tournament directors that have been a part of that. When I got started, I think the American Crappie Trail may have been my first tournament. Matt Morgan started a crappie trail, American Crappie Trail. And, you know, there's always ways to improve. So I don't think anybody was doing anything bad. I think, you know, things just needed to improve as far as rules and you know, maybe the structure of how tournaments are held. But on the other side, Mike Valentine had crappie masters. And I know there's previous owners, but those are the guys I know. I think Mike Valentine did a great job with crappie masters. We fish them all. So, I mean, I just like to fish. I like to fish with my son. So ACT kind of introduced, you know, the live well check and blast offs and, you know, and honestly, it's a real positive thing, you know, with the tournaments. It can be challenging at times, and I've got my own opinions on how they could possibly improve the things to, you know, probably do better at preventing cheating and maybe make things a little safer. But American Crappie Trail was a great thing that started that I think Crappie Master said, okay, we got to make some changes. So now you've got new owner Blake Jackson, great guy. That, you know, Blake owns both trails now. Blake's done a great job with Crappie Masters. And, you know, I think he'll continue that with ACT. I don't know what the future is. I think you're probably going to see some changes in the tournament trails. Crappie Masters has an elite series, which I really wanted to be a part of, and I think we could compete. I think we, you know, Tucker and I usually stay in the top 25. I think I say 25 to 27%. So we usually stay there. We've had multiple top 10 finishes. We've never won one, but we've had fourth, sixth, tenth,
couple tens, and a seventh.
Yeah. So, which is really good. I mean, you know, we always stay up there, and we may have a real bad tournament, but I would say, you know, we stay in that top 25%, you know, across the board. The Elite Series with Crappie Masters is a really good idea. I think it's going to allow the true professionals, which, you know, I think we are. I think we compete at, you know, the true professional level, but we just can't do it, you know, because I didn't know where the lakes were. You know, we probably have one or two tournaments that Tucker's out of school, and it's real hard to compete with the amount of time that I have to go pre-fish. And so ACT, I've heard different things, but I probably don't want to comment because I don't know what the facts are. But both trails have the elite fishermen. I think the elite fishermen are fishing both trails. I heard that ACT National Championship this weekend only has 30 to 40 boats, but you can bet it's going to be 30 to 40. I mean, if you win it, it's legit. Hayden Jeffries, everybody heard, you know, knows that name. He's the new, you know, very hard to beat. You got locals, Chris Fields, Jared Reiser, on the river, very difficult. Tucker and I usually do really well on the river. You know, I don't know why. I am from here. I duck hunted on the river, had a houseboat on the river. Everybody says I'm local, but I honestly don't fish it outside of tournaments, just because I'm busy outside of, you know, outside of tournament fishing. So, ACT, great trail. I don't know where it's go. I don't know what it's going to encompass. I think we may. Tucker's getting pumped up because we're on the back porch and a deer just walked out in the back. A bunch. He said a bunch. So, but they're all great trails. You know, I wish we could coordinate a better local trail, because we have a lot of really good fishermen, and several will be fishing. But there's a lot of really good tournament fishermen locally, and there's a lot who don't tournament fish that I would highly encourage to tournament fish. I don't know if I want them to, because they're probably going to come whoop my butt. But there's a lot of guys that may listen to this that, you know, they're probably going to laugh when I'm sitting there saying this, but you know, they're really good, and I would hate to see them on the river in this national championship because they would probably beat us.
Yeah. So you've named a couple with Hayden, with Chris and Jared, and Hayden's dad that fishes with him. Are those going to be your top two, you think, or you have some other people you think would be pretty close to the top?
No, there's going to be several. You know, I do think some people struggle with river fishing. So, but as far as, you know, you almost hate to name who's going to be there, but I mean, Hayden's going to be there. Richard Falk's, you know, I think going to be there. He can struggle in the Ouachita. I think he overthinks things too much, honestly, because he's a great fisherman. Jared Reiser and Chris Fields, they're very tough on the river. I mean, you got locals, Mark Taylor and Ken Myers. Who knows what they'll do. So the problem with the river right now, and I think, you know, Fields and Reiser, just like me, we like to fish backwater. And there's not a lot of backwater right now. I put my boat through everything possible today. I was able to access one hole that it wasn't easy. But there's not a lot of alternatives. So I think we're all going to see one another. And, I think the winning, we're going to watch the winner fish, and I hope it's us. And there is a chance we could win this tournament. Unfortunately, I think people are going to watch us if we do. And I think I'll watch the winner also. So I don't think there's going to be much secret, just because we can't really spread out.
Now, let me ask you that. You can't spread out. What is the range on this tournament? How far can you go?
So the blast off is going to be from Forsyth, and you can go all the way to the Felsenthal lot, to the Richmond lot. You know, lot of area.
Yeah, that is a lot. It is a lot. And the weigh-in will be at Forsyth as well?
Yeah, so the weigh-in will be at Forsyth, and it's a long ride. And Tucker and I actually, I think we got fourth in a Crappie Masters tournament, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, on the
last time. Yeah, ACT, and we drove right at 70 miles, and then the last mile was treacherous. I mean, we're going through jumping levees and everything else to get where we wanted to get in backwater. We're not going to be able to do that today, so. If you're going to cruise 60, 70 miles, there's not going to be a lot of backwater. However, I do know one place there's going to be a little backwater. And, so I hope I don't have to go there, but we'll see I hope I don't have to go that far. So,
yeah, I tell you, man, it's been so dry. Is that one reason there's not any backwater? It's just been so dry the last few weeks, several weeks, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. Oh, and the fish are poor, and so Lake Darbonne's thing, no doubt, you know, it is the health of the fish comes down to that running water. Darbonne, it's crested, gone over the dam, I think, once this year. That was, what, a month or two ago. That lake's really picked up a lot, and it all comes down to that water going over that dam. The river, I mean, the river is stagnant right now. So I like to fish in the river. There is zero current. There's no, a lot of the river lakes have turned over. I mean, you can actually see it, you know, and then in the river, if you have just a little current, those eddies in the river, I mean, you can do really well there. And, that's the only thing I'm worried about for me is, you know, I like current fish. I like to find those eddies, and then I like to find that backwater. Well, they can't push up in there. So the fish are real poor on the river right now. Darbonne struggled this year, and I think it all comes down to that dry, you know, that dry year. But Darbonne's picked up a lot, you know, just from that water, that rain we had a month or two ago. I fished a little tournament with the legislators. Came down, you know, working on getting that ramp at Darbonne, and it was amazing the difference in the, you know, the quality of fish. You know, they just a lot healthier. So,
yeah, that was a good tournament. That was the first time I'd gotten to be around you guys, and like I was telling Fields and Wesley Miller was, you know, you guys are like almost like brothers or cousins or something. You give each other a hard time. But at the end of the day, you're really excited and I guess you could say happy for each other when somebody weighs in a good weight and catches a big fish. I mean, it's definitely good to see the camaraderie that you guys have out there.
It is. You know, I'm out and those two guys right there, you know, out to beat, you know, and I love seeing those guys. You name two of the best. And they're really good guys, those teams. But it is. And I actually had a buddy of mine, son, just got into high school bass fishing, and he's going to be something to deal with. He's Tucker's right hand man. He's a junior in high school. And he just got into high school fishing. I think he really put his mind to, he's a scientist. I mean, he's just very smart. But my buddy, the father, actually mentioned they had their first tournament. He's like, man, it's just different. in the crappie tournaments, you know, they kind of act different. I was like, yeah, you know, I think that's kind of a stigma that bass fishermen have. But he just made the comment that it, you know, I was trying to talk to people and the kids were trying to talk. And so, you know, that is one positive thing about the crappie tournament world is we all, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, you are, you know, if you don't win, there's certain people you'd like to see win. Those two, you know, I definitely pull for. You know, I want to beat them. When we're fishing, I mean, I want to beat those guys. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you don't win, I mean, there's a group of guys that you want to win. And I would say my group's pretty big as long as, of course, it's a pyramid, right? I mean, there's people that I want to win over others. But the crappie fishing world is we're pretty tight. Of course, I was pre-fishing today. Pretty funny story. And I had a local boat pull up, John boat with like a 15 horse, and I'm wearing the fish out. I mean, Tucker and I could go to the spot and we could catch a lot of fish for the tournament. I just didn't find the tournament fish, and I was throwing them back, and he's like, man, you know, we could eat those. And I told him, man, honestly, this is respect for you. You know, when we pre-fish, you know, I try not to keep the fish, you know, just so, you know, we're not filling up an ice chest, you know, with fish. So it was pretty funny. And I actually felt kind of bad. I thought about giving them a few.
Yeah.
But the crappie tournament and the crappie fishing, it's just good, you know, it's good guys.
It seems to be. Yeah, it really seems to be a good group of guys and directors. You know, some of the directors I've gotten to be around were really nice guys. Now, Tucker, I want to ask you something. You're in the fourth grade, and your dad brought up something that I've been thinking about since I knew we were going to talk. Are you interested when you get old enough to do the high school bass fishing scene and see how that goes for you?
Yeah, my dad's probably, he was thinking about us going bass fishing and stuff. And I kind of want to go bass fishing. I want to get into something different.
I don't blame you. You know, I got a lot of friends on social media, and high school bass fishing in this area is really, in my opinion, maybe I haven't paid attention, I don't know, but it's really coming ahead in the last couple years. And I think I even saw a guy got a scholarship to, I think it was ULM, and I'm like, man, this guy's fishing, and he got paid, school paid for by fishing. That's the coolest thing ever. So are you interested in steering in that direction, Trey?
Yeah, you know, actually I am. You know, we love what we do as far as crop fishing, and but it's more, you know, it's more about him, and I don't get to fun fish as much as I'd like to. And I mean, we know, I mean, it's gonna come down to bass fishing as far as that goes. So he's been on me quite a bit. Tucker's pretty well rounded, and I don't know if I should say this, but I guess I can. I don't guess the warden's gonna come get me. I didn't know about it, but Tucker gigged a bass. What'd that bass weigh? 3?
When?
On Canyon, when you gigged that bass.
There was no.
Oh no! Well, don't mention any names now. Tucker's Well, like Noah, I mentioned Noah earlier. I think this kid's going to be, I think he's going to be something if he'll put his mind to it. Unfortunately, we have so many other things we're involved in with sports that, you know, I look at this kid going, all right, he's playing football, he's playing baseball. Will he go to college playing sports? No, he will not. Really good athlete, but bass fishing, Noah, there is no doubt in my mind that he could go and compete and probably be a Kevin Van Dam bass fishing. He's that methodical, and I mean, he's gigging 3 to 4 pound bass. He knows where they live. He's very, very smart when it comes to fishing and wildlife. Tucker's the same way. So I think we probably are going to start looking at some bass fishing, just because I don't think they're going to give any scholarships for crappie fishing and, you know, it costs a lot to crappie fish and tournament fish. And, you know, we don't really get, you know, we don't get subsidized to go do what we do, where bass fishing, you know, they do. And so, I think we'll probably, if not next year, I think you're going to probably see Tucker, start to enter the bass scene. And I think he'll do really well just with his mindset.
That's awesome. And Tucker, I'm going to tell you something. From a guy that's been around for, you know, several years, I want you to listen to me now. If you really want to be good at something, you got to be around people who are better. All right. So keep hanging out with Noah. It sounds like you need to keep hanging out with Noah and picking up on his habits and what he's doing out there fishing, because that's how you get better. You know, you just, to be better, you have to be around better. And I'm glad your dad's got you in this tournament, these crappie tournaments, to see fishermen, to learn the competition, what it takes. And, you know, I'm so glad I got to talk to you guys tonight, because this is very, very interesting stuff that you've got going on, Trey, you and Tucker. I'm thoroughly impressed.
And we appreciate the opportunity. It's kind of humbling, honestly. And so we're excited that you asked to do it.
Yeah, I read Dusty McGee's article, and you guys were in there. And when I read it, I knew right then, I was like, I want to talk to these guys. You know, I want to talk to Trey about, you know, fishing with a young person. I want to talk with Tucker about how it is. And just this interview, in my opinion, was 10 times better than I ever thought it would turn out, man. I really, really appreciate your time. Tucker, thank you so much for coming on. You got anybody you want to kick a shout out to, Tucker? Any of your friends or anybody?
No.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, Trey, you got any sponsors or anybody you want to say thank you to?
Not I don't really have sponsors, but like supporters. I mean, honestly, if you come fishing with me and you see anything in my boat, it is, I don't get paid by them. I don't really have any, I'm not incentivized by them. But Todd Huckabee Rods, Ken Robertson, the K Rod I use, but Ken is probably one of the most humble people I ever met. He actually sent Tucker a rod because he saw him using a rod that he thought was too heavy. It is the best rod, no doubt, right now as far as crappie rod. I'm not paid by them. I'm not sponsored by them. There's a lot of great rods out there, but we don't use that a whole lot. If we can help with Grenada, we do.
Yeah.
But Todd Huckabee Rods. I mean, it's a firm rod. So, I mean, weekend fishermen, they have stuff for that. I would like to thank them. Power Pole. I'm not paid by them. I'm not sponsored by them. The best customer service, hands down. You have to have, we do, whether you're docking your boat, you want to put your power poles down to how we fish. Power Pole, Greg Watts, Brian Watts, great guys, great product. Of course, Palmer Baits. I want to, anybody listen to this, I highly encourage, if you buy a plastic, call Alex Palmer and order baits. This is a young kid. They're pouring baits in a 10x20 shop, and it is a primo product. Great people. They'll stand behind any color you want. They'll stand behind their product. Of course, Bayou Bob, I always have to thank him for kind of inspiring Tucker to tie jigs. So we don't buy any Bayou Bob jigs. Sorry, Bob, but Tucker can tie them now. PG Outdoors. Ron Upchurch, one of the greatest human beings you'll ever meet. You're going to see them. They have multiple stores now. Just a great guy. So I'm trying to think. Oh, Big O Boats. Everybody asks, how did you get in there? Big O Boat. They're hard to get. What, Tuck?
Gorilla one.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got a gorilla hole to lead to fiberglass. Worth every penny. So Big O Boat is a custom-made boat. They make about 20 a year. I did not know it was that custom. I bought my boat used. I'm riding in a 2000 model hole. Those things are unbelievable. I don't know what's going to happen if anything happens to it, because I don't know if I can buy a new one. But Big O Boats, if you wonder how I got in where you're at with that 15 horse John boat, it's a big old boat. They're indestructible. So I think that's it. Okay.
All right. Well, go ahead. Were you going to thank somebody else?
No, I was going to thank you and I guess Dusty for introducing us, because this could have gone either way. I mean, we wouldn't be talking probably if Anders would have kicked Tucker's butt, and it could have happened.
Hey, Anders is a good outdoorsman, and you know, that's another young man that really impresses me, not only with his skills, but just like what Tucker's got. He's just got that it factor where you can talk to him. You know, they're not intimidated by adults. They'll get out there and just, you know, they're just people, you know, they're just cool kids. It's hard to explain what you've got, Tucker, but keep going. You've got it. Come
to father or mentor. So anybody listening, if you don't have a son or daughter, grab somebody. And I'm hoping to see more adult youth next year. I mean, it's so much fun. It is challenging, but it comes down to Dusty introducing Anders to that. So take a kid fishing or hunting.
And I'm going to say this. This is just me talking. If there's anybody out there that's ever thought they wanted to do a sponsorship of anybody or whatever like that, I'm going to call Team Underwood Team Integrity. These guys have got that thing that I can tell you right now, these guys are going to do the right thing. They're going to be the right people for the face. Trey, I'm going to tell you, man, you have really impressed me tonight, not only with your knowledge of fishing, but just being a dad. Just being a dad. You are a good one, brother. Let me tell you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
All right, guys. Well, look, Tucker, we pushing 7:35, man. I know you probably got homework and whatnot you got to get done. So I'm going to let you go. How about that? Anything you don't want? You don't want to say anything to anybody, brother? You don't want to, like, any of your buddies?
No.
Okay. Golly, man, I tell you the truth. This is your time to shine. You could have kicked a shout out. But I'm glad you at least mentioned your teachers. Maybe that'll help you out a little bit, give you a little bit of saving grace.
So we're going to need it. It's full Thursday and Friday this week. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe just Friday.
Okay. Well, I tell you, man, I'm pulling for you, Trey. And Tucker, I'm really genuinely pulling for you guys. And I hope to get you on here again so we can talk about a big win. How about that?
Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good evening now.
You too.
All righty. Bye-bye. I told you guys this was a good podcast. I want to thank Trey and thank Tucker for coming out, speaking with me this evening. I know it was a last-minute thing, Trey, but good luck this weekend in the ACT. Now, something I have noticed with these tournament teams that are pretty good, they have a group of two men or two people who are really in tune with each other. One plays off the other. Nobody gets excited. If somebody gets excited, the other person's there to pull them in. They trust each other. You know, that's what Tucker and Trey have that I really am impressed with is, you know, Trey treats Tucker like an adult in a way. And I want you to think about when you were a young person. You know, the most influential people in your life at that time, think about who that was and then think about how they treated you, how they talked to you, how they didn't treat you like a child. They treated you like like you were a person. And that's really what Trey does really well with Tucker. Puts him in some situations that he's going to be, an adult situation where he can control it. And good stuff, man. Good luck, Trey. Good luck all the anglers that are going to be on the Ouachita River this weekend for the ACT National Tournament. Wishing you guys the best. Be safe. Please, guys, be safe out there. My name is Greg Hicks. This is the Antlers and Hicks podcast, and I want to encourage you guys to live your life past 20 yards. I'll see you next time.